Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Yeah, we are children of God, aren't we? No longer slaves, but sons and daughters. Amen. Born free because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. What, man, what a great place to be. What a great place to be free. Amen. And that is my title this morning. Well, almost my title. My title is The Red Sea, A Journey into Freedom. A Journey into Freedom. How are you guys doing this morning? Everybody good? Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 1 to 19. But before we do, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that we are no longer slaves to fear, that you have set us free. Father, I thank you for your goodness towards us. And now, Lord, I pray that you would come. And Holy Spirit, that you would come as teacher and open up your word to us. But also open up our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. So speak to us, Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would receive and be open to hear what you're saying to us. So, Father, once again, you can shape us and conform us to be more fully walking in the very image of Jesus Christ. For your glory, Lord. Amen. Exodus 14, I'm going to read verses 1 to 19. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to camp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Ziphon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. That's an interesting line. So the Lord told him to do something, and the Israelites did this. Just tuck that in the back of your minds right now. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready, took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them all. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh of Egypt so that he pursued their Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Ziphon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and horsemen. We're going to stop there. I'm going to not do read verse 19. So the Egyptians had subjugated the Israelites into slavery for about the last 400 years. And they were forced into hard labor. They were beaten. They were abused. And some were even murdered. And now finally, the time had come for God to deliver the children of Israel out of the ruthless hands of the Egyptians. And so Moses was commissioned by God to be the deliverer of his people. And he went before Pharaoh, and he requested to the people to let them go so that they could worship the Lord. Pharaoh refused, and he began to oppress the people even more. And then began, as you know, the cycle of the 10 plagues. Moses requests Pharaoh to release his people. He does. Pharaoh refuses. God sends a plague. Pharaoh repents. God removes the plague. And that happens for 10 plagues. And after the final plague, which was, as you know, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh finally agreed to let the people of Israel go. In fact, after that last plague, the Egyptians actually urged them to get out of the country. They said, go. Take whatever you want. You can read that in Exodus 12, 33 to 36. They're telling you, go, lest we all die. And here, take whatever you want. And so the Israelites, they took the silver and the gold, and they actually took their silver, their gold, and their clothing. And you read it, the Israelites actually plundered the Egyptians as they left. And it says they were marching out with boldness. And so here they go. They're marching out with a strong sense of confidence. And I can imagine them thinking, wow, this is incredible. You know, their history, 400 years of bondage and oppression. You know, and it's coming to an end. And in fact, oppression, servitude, captivity, that was all this generation knew. It's all they knew. All they knew was what it was like to be oppressed. All they knew was what it was like to be serving something and someone else and to be ruled over. It was all they knew. It was how they lived. It was what they were used to and what they had even come to accept. I can, you know, in that place, I can imagine thinking this is all there was. And now they're free. At least that's what it looks like, and they're marching out, and now we actually have something to look forward to. You know, I remember that promise way back that God was going to bring us into this place flowing with milk and honey. We've actually got something to look forward to. We're actually going to see the fulfillment of promise. Finally, we're really going to be able to enjoy the sweet nectar of freedom. So off they go. And in Exodus 13, we see that by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of a cloud, and by night, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of fire to guide them along the way. In Exodus 13:22, we read, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire at night left its place. Now, that's hugely important. Neither the pillar of cloud nor the pillar of fire at night left its place. And that is awesome. Because here they are. They're moving into this new place. They're stepping forward into freedom. And God was leading them. He was with them. And he was showing them the way. Amen? God was with them. And God never left his place. God was in the cloud that was leading them. God was in the fire that was leading them. And it says they never left their place. God was with them. He was leading them, and God never left his place. He never stopped leading them. Amen? God was with them. He never abandoned them. He never said, well, I got you out of the country. Got you this far. Now you're on your own. You figure it out from here. He never see, you figure it out, let's see what you're made of, let's see what you can do. He never did anything like that. He never left his place. He never stopped leading them. He never stopped guiding them. God was there in the day when it was easy for them to find their way, and he was with them in the night to lead them when they couldn't see the way forward. God was with them. God never left his place. And you know what? That's a truth that reverberates throughout God's word. God will never leave us or forsake us. He will never leave his place. Amen? He will never leave his place, day or night. He is with us. Some of us need to hear that this morning. Day or night, he is with us. He is with us in the daylight when things are great. And he's leading us, but he's also there in the night. And no matter how dark it seems, he is still there leading us. The darkness is not able to extinguish the fire of his comfort, the warmth of his light, or the glory of his presence with us. He will lead us through. Amen? He never, ever leaves his place. Never. When it's daylight, when we can see the way easy, he's there leading us. But when we don't know what the next step is, when it's dark and we can't see, guess what? God is still there, and he will still lead us, and he will still guide us. Amen? Nothing can extinguish the light of his presence. He will lead us through. So what happens next? So understand, God was with them. So what happens next? Pharaoh had another change of heart. When the king of Egypt heard that the Israelites had finally left, he and his officials changed their mind and said, "What have we done? How dumb can we still be? We let them get away, and they will no longer serve us. They will no longer be our servants. They will no longer be our slaves." You want to know something? Our enemy always wants us to remain in slavery. Our enemies always want to keep us in slavery. What have we done? We let them get away. They will no longer be our servants. So he got his war chariots and he gets his army ready. And he commanded his officers in charge of his 600 best chariots and all of his other chariots. I wonder, why did God say that? Like, why was that like in the Bible like that? He got together his 600 best chariots and he also got all the rest of his chariots. Why didn't he just say he got all of the stuff that he had at his disposal? I just think he was serious about this. He got the best people he could find, and everyone else gathered together. Everything, this was the massive military force of Egypt coming after this the people of Israel. And he gets them all together and to start after the Israelites, and they overtook them as the people of Israel were encamped by the sea. So the Israelites here were trapped. And I was thinking about, God led them. Did God lead them right into a trap? Perhaps yes. I think very clearly yes. It says God led them to this place. So here the Israelites were trapped. The Red Sea blocked any forward movement, and the Egyptian army blocked any attempt to retreat. This was a bad situation. This was not a good situation. There was no way out. There wasn't. Red Sea here. The full force of the Egyptian military here. There was no way out. Absolutely no way out. It was bad. Anybody face a Red Sea situation like that? You're trapped. You're trapped by your situation, no way out. But you know what? The Bible says God was with them. He never left his place. God was still with them in this place here. He never left his place. So the Israelites looked up and they were terrified. They were terrified. Listen to what comes out of their mouth. And I want to add here, just remember, it's out of the abundance, or it's from what's in the heart the mouth speaks. It's what's really going on inside. That's what we speak out. And listen to what comes out of their mouth. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? A few minutes ago, they were rocking out boldly, plundering the Egyptians. And now it's like, did you bring us out here because, you know, there were not enough graves in Egypt so that you brought us out in the desert to die? What happened to their confidence? They go, what have you done to us? I like that. What have you done to us? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians, to remain in slavery, and then die in the desert. It would be better for us to remain in slavery, to be oppressed, to be in bondage, to be controlled, to be ruled over, than to be in this place. Suddenly, I think they discovered they were really not so free at all. You know, moving to a different location, if only I could get out of this place. You know, I remember people used to say, if I could only get out of Brantford, then. You know, moving to a different location does not guarantee freedom. It doesn't guarantee freedom from your enemies. Just moving to a different location doesn't guarantee anything. God was with them. God was with them. And their response was, it would be better to remain in slavery. Wow. See, the challenge of the Red Sea confronted their faith in God. See, the cry of an unsurrendered heart is always, give me the security of slavery rather than the risk of freedom. Let me say that again. The cry of an unsurrendered heart is always, give me the security of slavery rather than the risk of freedom. Leave me alone. It would be better to be kept in captivity. You know, several years ago, I was working with a woman who was tormented, really tormented. She was in captivity to a particular addiction. I won't go into what the addiction was, but she was captivated. She was in bondage. And I ministered with her and I prayed with her, and Jesus touched her in a powerful way, but it also scared her. See, freedom was unfamiliar to her. And I'll never forget what she said to me. And it echoes what I just read. She said to me, leave me alone. She says, leave me alone. I don't want to go to this place. Leave me alone. It's better for me to stay here because I know what to expect in this place. But I don't know what to expect in this place. And this woman had grown up in the church. Leave me alone. It is better for me to be in bondage because I know what to expect than for me to come into this place. You know, a few years ago, her son died tragically, and I was asked to do the service, and she still could not take a step forward. It was one of the saddest, sorriest places I've been in my life. Leave me alone. Cry of an unsurrendered heart is always, give me the security of slavery rather than the risk of freedom. See, there's a risk. There's a risk of faith. I have to make a choice to take a step. Will I walk away from Egypt, the place of slavery, the thing that's ruling over me, has control over me, and trust God to deliver me? There's a risk in that. Will I take a step of faith and actually believe God and trust Him? Am I willing to trust God as I face the Red Sea? See, the Red Sea confronts what's in us. Am I willing to trust God as I face the Red Sea? As I face what seems like, well, for me it is, an impossible situation. You know, I've worked with several couples, a number of couples, young couples who, actually young and old couples, older couples, who've expressed faith in God, and they've been facing very, very difficult economic situations. And as a result of their economic situation, they made a decision to live together and to join salaries and things like that to make things easier. And they could see no other way how things might work. There was no other way. Now remember, these are couples I'm talking about that express faith in God. So they come together to try and make things work, to make things easier, to alleviate the pressure of their economic situation. They couldn't figure out. They saw no other alternative. They didn't know how to go forward, and they couldn't go back to family and ask for help. So here they are. They're trapped. They're in bondage. They're trapped by their economic situation. And they come to me. They came to me because they wanted to get right with God, and they also wanted to get married. Well, they wanted to get married to make things right with God. And when I talk with these couples, I always do something. I always suggest there's an act of faith and obedience to God, and an act to put Him first. They first make a decision to stop living together until they get married. Whether that's 2 weeks, whether that's 3 weeks, whether that's a month, a year, whatever it is, I always ask them to make a decision to stop living together until they get married and trust God as an act of obedience to put Him first in their relationship. I'll tell you, it's a challenging thing to say to a couple when you know their economic situation. But it's a failure on my part if I don't challenge them, because I know who God is. Of the couples, and I wish I could say every couple responded positively, but that's not the case. But of the couples who responded positively and took a risk, somehow they were always able to find a way as God provided. And they learned to trust God and obey Him rather than be in bondage to their economic situation. One couple who responded, and this was amazing, they didn't even know how they were going to pay for the wedding dress. You know, that's kind of a significant thing for a bride to have a beautiful wedding dress. And part of the reason was coming together to share finances so they could actually get a wedding dress. And they took the risk, and they responded, and they had no idea how this was going to come together. How could they even buy a wedding dress? And I tell you, somehow, don't know how, but somehow, it was miraculously paid for. Amen? That's the God we serve. Somehow. And I remember the day it happened, and I saw the joy, and I saw faith come from here just to go to here, because they took a step of faith to obey God, and God met the need with just in an awesome way. Somehow, this wedding dress was miraculously paid for. And they learned that if you take a risk, put your trust in God, God is bigger than the Red Sea of economic challenge. See, the cry of an unsurrendered heart is, give me the security of slavery rather than take the risk of freedom. So there's a risk. There's a risk of faith. I have to make a choice. Will I walk away from Egypt? The place that is ruling over me, has control over me, the thing I am a slave to, and trust God to deliver me. See, true freedom can only be found through risking uncompromising faith in God. Amen? True freedom can only be found through risking uncompromising faith in God. So the Israelites, they look up and they're terrified. And Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Red Sea here, massive military force here. They're shaken and don't be afraid. That's like telling a young couple, stop living together until you get married. I'll take care of you. Don't be afraid. And they're looking at me like, what? You know, I can imagine the Israelites saying, what do you mean don't be afraid? Don't you see what I see? Don't you see what I see? We are so done here. There is no way. There is no solution. We are finished. Surrender. Give back into the slavery. Going back into that place of oppression is the only possible option. That's all they could see. And Moses, in that place, he cries out, stand firm. You know what that means? It's this risk faith. Take a risk and believe God. Stand firm. Risk faith. And he says, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. Stand firm. Stand firm. See, they had forgotten something. They had forgotten it was God who took them out in the first place. They had forgotten that it was God who was with them day and night, and he never left his place. And it was God who had brought them even to this place. And God was with them. See, when I risk faith and I find myself facing a Red Sea situation, I need to understand that God is still with me. He has never left me. He has never abandoned me. He has never left his place, and he is still leading me. Amen? Secondly, this is not about God destroying me. This is not about God being upset with me or punishing me or even being disappointed with me. But it's about God revealing his glory. What does he say? But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians, what, will know I am the Lord. See, the Red Seas that we face, this is not about God destroying me, being upset with me, or any of those kinds of thoughts we tend to have in that place. It's not about God being disappointed with me. It's not about God being mad at me, God punishing me. It is about God revealing his glory and using me to show my using me in my situation to show a people who do not believe that he is the one true God. Did you follow me on that? It's not about destroying me or God being upset about me. It's about him using me and my situation to reveal to a people who do not believe that he is the one true God. Amen? When I realize the Red Sea is not about destroying me, but an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed, you know what? It changes everything. He's not destroying me. I'm not about to be destroyed. There is something bigger happening. God is about to reveal his glory. And some people who don't know him are going to see the goodness of God as he moves through your situation and as you will see the deliverance of your Lord today. Amen? God is going to move through that
to reveal his glory. It's not about destroying me. It's about God revealing his glory. He's not about to destroy me or allow me to be destroyed by my enemies. He is using me to reveal his glory. I can stand firm. I can stand firm in my faith, knowing my God is with me. And I can be free from worrying and anxiety and all of those things. As Moses instructed, I can be still. You know, talking about the Red Sea is making me thirsty. When Deb and I first got married, I worked for one of the most stingy bosses I've ever known. And he's always looking away for ways to reduce pays. And we worked on a kind of a bonus system, and he was always trying to find a way to cut those bonuses and things like that. It's just the way it was. And we lived in what I call a renovated tomato shed on the back of a house. If you went to the bathroom, you couldn't close the door because your knees stuck out. You know, we had no money, but we had love. All you need is, never mind. Had no money, but we had love. And Deb had spent some time in the hospital, and for some reason there was some kind of a mix-up with our OHIP, and I was handed a bill for $25,000. And at that time was like, you know, and frankly, although I didn't have a lot, I did have my 69 Mustang. And I stood to lose everything. I had absolutely no way. I did not know how to deal with this. I did not have money to deal with it. It was like, I don't know what to do. You know, and I mean, they can't take my house, but they can take everything else I own. God said, trust me. I remember that as clear as day. I didn't know. God said, trust me. And I took a risk, and I did what he said. And guess who took upon themselves to pay the bill? Stingy, mingy, meany boss. I'll never forget it. This boss, this stingy, mingy boss, he called me into his office and said, Ralph, I'm going to take care of this for you. I tell you, I broke in that moment. I go, how? How does that happen? This guy who's looking to cut everything, trying to, you know, how does that happen? How does that happen? There's only one way. God. Somehow God moved on his heart. And this man, this stingy, mingy guy, calls me into his office and says, Ralph, I'm going to take care of this for you. My coworkers heard about it, and you know what? They were shocked because they knew this guy. They knew. And they also knew I was a believer. And that released an opportunity for me to share with almost all of them the goodness of our God. Amen? The Red Sea, those challenges aren't about destroying us. They're opportunities for God to reveal his glory. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. Another, risk faith. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Now listen to this. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. You only need to be still. Be still is about, you don't have to plot. You don't have to scheme. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to lose it. You don't have to go back. All you have to do is risk faith. Trust you, Lord. Do what he says. And then it says, Moses says, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will move on your behalf. The Lord will take care of that. The Lord will take care of you as you risk faith. And then he goes on to say, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. That thing, you risk faith and you stand firm and God delivers you. You know what? You've taken a step forward into a greater amount of freedom, and that thing will never have control over your life ever again. Amen? You take a step and believe God with your finances and do what he says, and then he brings deliverance. That thing will never have control over your life again. I got time for one more story. Two couples. One came to me, this was near the beginning of my ministry, and they were having some financial difficulty, and they were wondering if the church could help out, and I said, sure, yeah, we can do that. We're able to help that, and so we helped them with some finances to meet their situation. But as I began to talk with them, I found that there were some things that were just out of line, out of alignment with trusting God. And one of those things, you know, the Bible talks about give, and it'll be given back onto you. And in Malachi, he says, trust me in this thing. See that I won't open up the storehouses. So I sat with this couple, and I says, I want to share some principles in God's word that I think will help you if you will apply them in your life and act accordingly. I said, I really believe by the Spirit of the Lord, I need to share this with you. And I shared those principles with them. You know what their response to me was? They got up angrily and they said, you just want us to pay that money back. And they left. And they left the church. 25, almost 30 years later, they are still in the same economic condition that they were in when they came to see me back then. They never were able to take a risk of faith, and they were never able to move past that place, and they remain in captivity to their enemies. Amen? Another couple who responded positively now enjoying the blessing of the Lord in a way they've never experienced before. That's me, church. I have never experienced some of the blessings of the Lord that I'm experiencing in my life. Not because of me. Because I took a step of faith. I took a risk. And I decided to put God first in every area of my life. And those things that have me captivated back then, I'm free. They aren't issues. I'm free. And those enemies I had before, they're gone. They're destroyed. Amen? They're destroyed. They have no power. Amen? See, don't be still. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Risk faith, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Risk faith. Those things that hold you captive will be destroyed. See, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Red Sea, those challenges, those situations that even God leads us into are not meant to destroy you. They are meant to destroy your enemies. Amen? Pharaoh and all of his forces, the whole of the military force of Egypt was decimated in that moment. Amen? The Red Sea is not meant to destroy you.
The Red Sea is meant to destroy your enemies, setting you free to glorify God, a good God, because He will always make a way. Amen? Even if it means defying nature and parting a Red Sea. He will make a way. Amen? Say it with me. He will make a way. Amen? Hallelujah. He will always make a way. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These things are not meant to destroy us, but to reveal His glory and set us free. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're facing today. And I'm not sure who this message is speaking to directly. But with every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want to ask, maybe, first question I'm going to ask is, maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, and today you want to take that risk of faith by giving Him your life. If you're here and you've never done that, and you want to give your life to Jesus, I just encourage you, just put your hand up right where you are very quickly. Is there anybody? I don't see any hands, so if that's something you want to do, come see me after the service. My other question is, maybe you're in a place, and now after this morning, your perspective has completely changed, and you're willing to risk faith and trust God. If that's you, I want to pray for you just very quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you that you are a good, good God. And you bring us to those places not to destroy us, but to reveal your glory. Father, thank you that we can trust you. As we risk faith in you, you will not fail. You have purposed us to walk in freedom and to use us to reveal your glory. We trust you, Lord. I pray for every person right now that's facing a situation, God, that you would help faith to arise, Father. We repent of those areas of unbelief this morning. And we position ourselves in the place of faith, choosing to trust you. Father, show yourself strong as we position ourselves in faith in you. Use us, Lord, to glorify yourself. And thank you, Father, as we trust you, you destroy that thing, that enemy that we're in bondage to. And you set us free, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If we could have the worship team come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Again, if you want personal prayer, I will be over here. And you can come, and if you want prayer, I'd be happy to pray for you. In the meantime, we're just going to end this service with a song and a closing prayer. And we're just going to have a time of celebration afterwards. Amen? So let's all stand together.